Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Freaking go every Tuesday at this time. Baldy, presented by our proud partner, Golden State Lumber and Showroom, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com, and he joins us now on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands and Lathrop. Shasky has a smile on his face. Baldy, good morning. It's our Halloween here today at Odyssey, so we're dressed up. Harry Potter for me, Oscar the Grouch for Shasky, and he feels like most Niner fans feel.
And Giants
today.
Fans.
And Giants. They're feeling a little grouchy
today. Because
the Dodgers
won on a walk-off.
Yeah. Did you watch that game, Baldy? 18 innings.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I think he's still watching it, maybe. Or maybe he put him to sleep. That's what it was for me. No? Well, left for Baldy. It's okay. I like how you put the hood back on when Baldy came.
I'm sweating.
You are sweating profusely.
I might pass out. We gotta get you some
water, bro. Oof. We can't be having like what Target that one time. You told the story.
Yeah, that was after Philadelphia. I had COVID and I passed out and I woke up. I had no shirt on. They were doing like an EKG thing to my chest.
Woke up with no shirt on. Oh my God.
They had shaved my chest.
Really?
Yeah, I had a lot of hair on my chest, okay, and they shaved my chest, and it was not good.
They call that the taco meat, I guess, the hair on the chest.
That's
these days.
What Bonte calls it.
And so then people be talking. We'll be joined by Baldy here momentarily. By the way, Bonte in about 27 minutes. Bonte every single Tuesday, 8 to 10 in studio. We'll talk about the 49ers. We'll talk about the Golden State Warriors, all of it. I referenced that sound earlier with Kyle Shanahan, Joe, in regards to Brock Purdy. We got him? Thumbs up?
Yeah, well, I'm
we
good.
Got you? Okay,
yeah.
Sweet.
Well, sorry, yeah, I'm sorry about that,
no,
Joe.
No, you're good. You're good. Did you watch that Dodgers game last night? That's what we started with. 18 innings long. What was it, 6.5 hours? Oh, my God.
I felt like I left here the office, and it was on, and I came back in here early in the morning, and it felt like it was still on. Like, I just left the channel on, and I felt like, you know, like they were still going around the order here one more time. But no, I didn't stay up for 18 innings last night.
No, no, nor did we, as we get up at 3:30 West Coast time. Baldy, we're just talking about this loss right now. There's a lot of, you know, Niner fans that, you know, felt like that was a humbling loss against the Houston Texans, a team that looked awful on Monday Night Football against the Seattle Seahawks. And then you got the Niners coming off that huge Sunday Night Football win. It felt like the optimism and pessimism for these teams should have been different, right? But it ended up being the Houston Texans coming in with more swagger at home and just laying the wood on that 49ers offense early on.
I mean, look, this is why it's a week-to-week league, because San Francisco couldn't have played harder than they did the week before in their win. And Houston hadn't played like that all year. Like, they're like, I mean, I'm not to get carried away with, you know, spiritual stuff, but like, they just vibrated differently. Like, they attacked everything. The way that Aziz came downhill and like, the way that they attacked the 49ers in the run game, like, it was just vicious, absolutely vicious. And then I'm watching the linebackers of the 49ers just catch blocks. And I'm going, like, it was just two teams that played the game at a completely different level. And then I thought, Kyle just did some weird things, man. Like, just protection-wise. Like, you got Will Anderson out there that is as good as anybody off the edge. And I'm watching Matt Hennessy pull from the center position to go block Will Anderson. I'm going, who would do that? Maybe on a Thursday afternoon morning walkthrough, you might pull your center. And, like, nobody does that. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, and then I'm watching Juwan Jennings try to block Danielle Hunter on the outside on a bootleg. And I'm going, wait a second. If you put Trent Williams out there, he couldn't block him in space for as long as you needed to get that. There's just some things that didn't, you know, that didn't jive, because we've seen these mistakes before in big games. And that whole defense is built around Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. Like, you better have a plan. And I felt bad for McKivitz out there. Like, you can't hear in that building. They've got the thing jacked up. That Will Anderson is just, like, looking like the hungriest shark. And, like, he was beaten off the snap, like, three or four times. There's nobody helping. Like, it's just, I didn't think it was a good game all the way around.
No, I appreciate you bringing this up. Like, I think Kyle does some brilliant things. But there is something to this, you know, blocking elite edge rushers with guys that, you know, aren't elite tackles or, you know, aren't normal offensive linemen. You referenced Juwan Jennings having to block Hunter. I brought that up yesterday. It drove me crazy. Seeing Matt get plastered on that play where the center that you referenced, you know, goes sliding over. I mean, he got hit hard on that play. That's just a tough ask for any center to make that move. But I'm not a football expert. So explain to me as a football purist, as someone who watches the film and all this, like, is this his scheme? Is this just an individual isolated play? Like, they do run the ball well, but what is it about this the way that they scheme things up front where it leaves these vulnerabilities that seem to really get their quarterback in compromised positions?
Mac Jones is one tough guy, man. Oh, man. Man, he took some shots. I don't know. I don't know, because I know Kyle is detailed. Like, you know, success lies in his details. I understand it, but, like, we used to pull the center to go block outside linebackers unless we were playing the Giants and it was LT. Then we never did it, you know? Like, you know, you could get an extra guy out in protection. The back could get out, and you could handle, you know, you're uncovered, you pull, you block the outside guy, they slide inside, and you get sound. But, you know, we would never do that against LT. Like, as soon as you're thinking, okay, Will Anderson is out there or Danielle Hunter is out there, like, there's a reason why they're a top five defense. Like, it starts with not just their ability to rush the passer, but just the way that both of them play the game. You know, they just play the game the way you're supposed to. And there's not many of those guys in the league. Like, they happen to have two of them. But, you know, Will Anderson looks like he wants to go into the octagon and end the fight, like, in 2 seconds. Like, he wants to come sprinting out of the corner and knock the guy out. That's how he plays every play. And, you know, I just think when you've got those guys, when you're talking about your game plan, Joe, like, it's got to start with securing the edges first, no matter what you want to do. And so I just felt like that they were. And then I'm just wondering about the whole staff. when they're drawing these plays up, and we're going to do this, and we're going to walk, you know, and if you're on a walkthrough, you're like, all right, it might look okay. I call them chalkboard protections. It looks good in the chalkboard. It'll allow us to do this. We could get this matchup. And I'm thinking, man, think about the guy that's got to go do that right now.
So, you know, Baldy, one thing, and I'm not trying to pick on Kyle. I think Kyle does a really good job, but there are some, you know, strengths and weaknesses for every coach, no matter who or how great or how weak they are. When they're down double digits, there's this stat that always comes flying across the screen. Hey, you know, a Kyle Shanahan-led team down double digits in the fourth quarter or down double digits in the second half has a very, very, very bad record. And one thing that was like, wow, it was really eye-opening, they're not hustling to the line. They're getting to the line. They're running all these motions back and forth. And it's like, can we ditch that and just like run a little up-tempo here? I do think there's something to how they play football being part of the reason why they have a difficult time playing catch-up late in games.
It's a good observation, Joe. You should be able to just line up and play. You should be able to just line up in a 2x2 set without having a motion to it. You should be able to just line up and save 6 seconds when time is of the essence and just run the play. You can run it with the motion. You can run every single play without it, too. And you can just line up in it. And there is something to be said in two-minute drills and even four-minute drills or even, you know, if you're down two scores like they were, where you're not like, okay, you got to get one before you get two, but you still need time to get two. So time is the enemy. You know, the clock is the enemy there. And I just think the quicker you start making that decision that the clock's the enemy, the quicker you have a chance or the better that you have a chance of making that comeback win from being down two scores.
Talking with Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast Best Football Show podcast, Odyssey NFL Insider, every single Tuesday at this time. No better person to talk 49ers football with than Brian Baldinger. And on the other side of the field, Baldy, it looked like that was the most confident I've seen CJ Stroud all season. He just looked quick. He looked decisive. I know he had the pick before the end of the half. DeAndre Lenore, by the way, the Niners' first interception in, what was it, 15 games,
yeah,
straight games? It's ridiculous. But 30 of 39, 318 yards, two touchdowns. What did you see from the 49ers defensively, or I guess what didn't you see, Baldy?
Well, I'm out without Nico Collins, who's been his favorite target since he came into this league. And so, you know, without Nico in there, I mean, you know, they basically played Iowa State's, you know, wide receiving core of Noel and Hutchinson. But I, like anybody that just wants to write C.J. Stroud off as, you know, he's a declining player. Like, first of all, he had protection for the first time all year. That's not a good offensive line. And that's really the first thing you notice is there was no pass rush, none. They blitzed to get it. But you do that to, you're doing that at your peril against C.J. Stroud because that guy sees the field very, very well. And he's a very good student of the game. And so he knew exactly where to go with the ball as soon as the overloads came. And they couldn't heat him up. And you know when he's heating up, like he's not going to stay there and just take a hit. He's elusive. But, you know, the touchdown throw to Hutchinson, you know, he saw Taylor Bethune just open up to the three-receiver side. And, like, as soon as he saw the linebacker open up like that, he came, you know, to Hutchinson for the touchdown. It was a great throw. But the read was easy. Like, I didn't think they disguised things very well at all. But, I don't know. I just thought they played flat, like really flat. And, you know, no Bryce Huff. Like, there was zero pass rush. Nobody was winning. And that Arianti Ursary was struggling at left tackle. They were struggling at the right tackle spot with Titus Howard. Like, you didn't see those guys struggle at all. The whole day, like, did he even hit? I think they got one quarterback hit the entire day.
Yeah. I mean, you were referencing some of their blitzes. They brought Mustafa a couple times. They tried to bring Upton Stout, and he almost, like, gave it away on third down. He's, like, talking to Tig Brown, and Tig doesn't step up to guard the guy, and CJ knows he's blitzing and just throws right to the hot route. What's going on with these safeties? They played Siegel and Pinnock for the first five games, and they didn't look great. And then I'm watching Tig Brown and Mustafa, and they don't look great. Is the safety play as bad as my eyes are telling me?
Well, there's a reason why they made a change, you know? I mean, they're not going to – if Pinnock was playing better, then he'd be in there right now. Like, they're not playing guys that they – just because they drafted him. You know, I think Tig was a third-round pick at a Penn State. But, they're not playing these guys just because they drafted them. They got to find, you know, guys, and they're not making any plays. You know, Mustafa can, you know, can hit you and light you up, you know, but they're not making any plays on the back end. They're not getting to the ball. They're not getting in the passing lanes. They're not taking the ball away. Like, your safety has to, when Hufanga was back there, he was taking the ball away. Like, when these guys were there, and they're not doing that right now. They're not in the passing lanes. They're not anticipating where the ball is coming, and they're not good with the ball in the air right now. And so it's an issue, I think.
What about the defensive line? I mean, you referenced no pass rush. It's pretty obvious. They got Mike Hill playing a lot, and he's playing inside. He's playing a little outside. They've got Alfred Collins playing. Are you seeing anything from the two draft picks?
You don't see any suddenness from either one of them. Like, they're big guys. They've got size. And I think Michael's got some power. But you don't see any suddenness. And it's just hard to power your way through any of these offensive linemen in this league. It's just hard. Like, you got to get on the edge. You got to get a short corner. You got to get a takeoff. There's a reason why, you know, Will Anderson at his size can be a dominant player. Like, you're not seeing that aspect to either one of those two players' games. Now, the rookie year is almost like a redshirt year in some ways. It's just a totally different game than college. But you're not seeing, like, the suddenness you need. Like, even, like, not to bring up, you know, a guy that they should never have lost, but to watch DeForest Buckner play right now, like, he just, now, you know, I mean, he's 10 years in the league, but, like, they haven't had a guy like that. You know, Armstead wasn't like that. Nobody's been like that. But a guy that can just win one-on-ones, but then also excellent when he's running any kind of stunts because of his power and what he can do.
I feel like Michael, you know, they obviously had Bosa. They brought in Huff. I don't know. Maybe they thought he'd be a work in progress and he would evolve over time. What is he right now? Because, you know, Niner fans, we're losing our minds. 11th pick. We're expecting some impact, and I think that he's doing some nice things, but maybe we have him miscast as an edge guy and he's more of an interior guy. Like, what is he right now from your eyes?
Well, he doesn't look like he's got the takeoff you need to win on the edge. Like, he almost looks like he would be better inside in a three technique where he can use his size and length and his strength better than he does on the outside right now. That's what it looks like to me. Now, I'm not out there in practice watching, you know, the body, because sometimes you practice all this stuff all week long, you get to a game, you're just not ready to just unleash it yet, you know. But it generally takes these guys a year. You don't see anything from the guys that the Falcons drafted, you know, right now.
Hey, Jalen Walker.
I mean, it takes a little while. Yeah, well, they had two guys,
yeah.
Pierce and Walker. But you don't see any those guys winning either. So it's just a slow process. He's got a good coach, but I don't see like the first step quickness that you need in order to be a feared pass rusher at this point. It's early. Like, you got to build. Like, the big thing is, honestly, for any of these pass rushers, especially if Michael's on the outside, is two things. One, takeoff. Like, just, I mean, work on it every day. Takeoff. And then two, get your hands on these guys. And then from there, figure out, because the ball could be gone in 2 seconds, and he could also be holding the ball. So if they're holding it because it's play action or because it's 3rd and 13, like, have a plan to get to the edge and start collapsing the pocket. And I don't really see a plan from these guys yet.
Baldy, you kind of teased it, and I'm just, like, they've made some bad decisions. They've made some great decisions, right? And DeForest Buckner feels like one of the biggest, like, mistakes. No, I mean it. Like, they have poured so many draft picks and so much free agent money and capital into that position to fill. Is that the biggest miss of this, even bigger than Trey Lance or the Jimmy Garoppolo thing? Like, is that the biggest mistake by this front office?
I think so. Because of the person that he is, number one. I'm going to see him Sunday in Pittsburgh. He'll be out there working for an hour before the game on just pass rush moves. I saw him spin the other day. I saw him swim. He is an elite. He is the classic three technique because he's big, he's long, he's got a great first step, and he's got an array of moves. and he plays hard. And for a guy who's 6'7", he plays with a good pad level. Like, they've never come close to finding a guy like that, that can have all those different skills. And he's still, you know, he's been basically healthy throughout his career. They've never come close to replacing him, but Indianapolis, his defense is built around him.
Talking to Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast, Best Football Show podcast, Odyssey NFL Insider. And Baldy, you know, we're almost halfway through the season, right? 5-3, all right? You still make the playoffs. What should Niners fans' expectations be moving forward? Should it be just, hey, can we make the playoffs? Like, we're not riding off the division yet. It just feels like with every game, and last week was such a humbling loss, no Bryce Huff again this week. You don't know what you're getting from the defensive line. Obviously, it's the New York Giants. They just lost their guy, Scatabooz. That's a tough loss for them. But what do you think realistic expectations for this team is at the halfway point?
Well, if they make the playoffs, it'd be an unbelievable season. To make the playoffs with a backup quarterback and without Nick and Fred, that would be one of the best years ever. If you can, in this NFC, because, you know, you've got, I mean, Seattle and the Rams obviously beat the Rams, so that's good. But, you know, you got Seattle and the Rams that are going to be, they're going to come down the stretch in pretty good shape because of the way the quarterbacks are playing and because of what they have around the quarterback. And then you look at the NFC North with Green Bay and Detroit. You look at the Eagles, you look at Tampa, like somebody's going to be left out. Like, not all those teams I just mentioned can make it. So somebody's going to be left out right now, and it might be a pretty good team that's left out.
Baldy, from what you saw on film, does George Kittle look like he can really run and get downfield and break tackles?
Well, the touchdown catch was amazing. Like, I still don't know how he got it. Aziz was right there, and then, you know, the safety bullet came right over the top. Like, somehow the ball stuck to his chest. I think he was a little surprised when he came up with the ball that he still had it. Like, it was just stuck there. I think he can go out there and win one-on-ones when teams are, you know, man-to-man against him. Like, the Giants linebackers aren't good. You know, he should have their secondary is atrocious right now. So, I mean, they played a corner that has no business being in the NFL, and he was a disaster for him. So, I don't know who's healthy he's not. But I think George is, you know, on his – it's hard to say if he's all the way back because you just don't know after a hamstring injury how soon you feel like you could just open up. Like, I'm sure he – without talking to him or knowing anything, I'm sure he's second-guessing if he can really just let it go right now. And you know, he's always been good after the catch. Can he just open up and go? I'm not sure if he knows he can do it.
What do you do with the quarterback situation? I feel like Max really won me over with the toughness and all that. But Purdy's your guy. You know, they've paid him a ton of money. He's done some great things for the organization. But they're playing in New York this week, and we don't know where the foot's at. What do you do with the quarterback here?
Well, I mean, Mac would look a whole lot better if, you know, J.J. catches that ball down the field. You know, I mean, he's going to score a touchdown. You know, it's right in his hands. You know, his stats and everything would look a whole lot better. Maybe it's a closer game if you catch. If Watkins catches the ball on the outside, maybe it's a different game. You know, the reason why they lost the game ain't Mac Jones, and the reason why they're 5-3 isn't Mac. And so he's helping them win games. Like, I'll say the same thing that I said last week. Unless Brock Purdy is 100%, because we don't know how much rust there's going to be without him having to play. Like, it might take a while for him to get back into a groove and get his rhythm back and his eyes and timing and all that. So it might take him a little bit. And you don't want to see that pass rush for the Giants that can heat you up while you're trying to figure out the timing. So unless he's 100%, unless you know, like, you see it in practice, the anticipation, the release, the movement, unless you know that for sure, then I would just ride Mac at this point.
Baldy, quick scouting report on the Giants this Sunday, MetLife Stadium. We've obviously mentioned no Scatabooz. He's going to be out. Brutal injury there. They've already without Malik Nabers. But this kid, Jackson Dart, man, he plays with some swag.
He's a great kid. Like, he's a great kid, and he's got everything. Like, I talked to him before the game on Sunday. You know, he's just serious about his craft. He's really smart. He understands what defenses are doing. He knows where to go with the ball. He has an amazing ability to a lot like Bo Nix. He's got an amazing ability to, like, navigate a pocket that could be dirty because of blitzes or pass rush or whatever, and keep his eyes down the field and be a dual threat. Like, he has an amazing, without ever dropping his eyes. Like, it is really something to watch. They got a really good slot receiver in Wandale Robinson. They got a decent back in Tyrone Tracy. He's not Scatabu, but he's pretty good. And the offense line is pretty good. Defensively, they're a mess in the secondary, but they got real playmakers. Abdul Carter and Brian Burns leads the league in sacks. Like, Kayvon's okay. They got screwed on a couple of calls the other day. But they're pretty formidable with their ability to run stunts and get after you with the pass rush.
Hey, Baldy, we appreciate the time as always, man. Good luck this weekend. We'll do it again next week.
You got it, guys. Take care, man.
See you, buddy.
There he goes. That is Brian Baldinger every single Tuesday, 7:30, our Odyssey NFL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.